roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the Deviant and Dastardly Goz. Ari's co-host. How you doing, Goz?
Morning.
All right, man. Hey, it's early morning, Thursday, June 11th. We decided to wait a little bit. We covered a lot on yesterday's Junkie Radio on Sportscaster. Check our Twitters. We'll both post retweets of the link if you want to catch it. Last night's show, or yesterday's show, was a ton of fun because we spoke to Ray Longo, so it was fun having a debut guest on our Sportscaster. Folks, it's just like what you listen here, except it's on Sportscaster. I mean, you should really check it out if you want an extra MMA Junkie Radio show. That would be three of the 5 days during the week. And I know a lot of you say you missed the daily format.
And it's video.
And on yesterday's show, we kind of talked a little bit about everything going on with the four title fight announcements.
Four.
So we'll probably rehash a little bit of that. Touch on a little bit of the news that we missed out because we talked so much about those title announcements. And then we will also talk about the upcoming card this weekend. It's called UFC on ESPN 10, I versus Calvillo. That doesn't mean I'm going to fight Cynthia Calvillo. It means Jessica I is going to fight Cynthia Calvillo in the main event. It's a simulcast on ESPN and ESPN Plus, but it is called UFC on ESPN 10. So buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Thursday morning, June 11th.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine. And
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, so I think it behooves us to at least repeat the title announcements from yesterday, but we're obviously not going to repeat the whole one-hour show from yesterday. So again, check us out at sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. That's our page. The latest episode is right there at the top, and we kind of dove into some of these topics. What are those topics? All right, let's start off with the title fights, and I have one correction, by the way. Stipe Miocic is going to defend his UFC heavyweight title against Daniel Cormier on August 15th. Yesterday, I incorrectly said Yaz Island, which is Fight Island. Yaz Island is in Abu Dhabi. That one has a TBA, to be announced when it comes to the site. So that might be back at the UFC Apex. I noted on yesterday's show, I was like, well, those aren't international fighters. They could have that one here. But they're not sure. How do I know that? Because yesterday I went for a late night walk and I heard Dana White on ESPN and he said that. So I made a note of it and I wanted to correct it to the audience that follows us here from Sportscaster. And it made sense to me at the time because he said he was going to spend a month there. And one UFC 251 is on July 11th, and UFC 252 is on August 15th. So I go, yeah, that sounds about right. I assumed. I made a mistake. So the next announcement, Kamaru Usman is defending against Gilbert Burns. That's on July 11th. Then you have Alexander Volkanovski defending against Max Holloway. That's on July 11th. And you have Jose Aldo and Petr Yan fighting for the vacant UFC bantamweight title. That's on July 11th. So July 11th is UFC 251, and it's got three title fights at the very top. In fact, I think the main card's already been set. It also includes Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade and one other fight that escapes me at this moment. Now, surrounded by that fight card, or following that fight card, I believe, are three other fight night events on Yas Island. And I think that's what Dana White meant, was, hey, I'm going to be there for about a month, but it doesn't extend to UFC 252 on August 15th. Now, why he didn't have a TBA, I don't know, because to me, it sounds like you're either on Fight Island or you're at the Apex, but maybe there's some signs that other cities can host UFC 252. I don't know, but it could be that he also didn't want to commit to it because the NAC kind of approves events slowly but surely. Like the NAC, this is, again, something we talked about yesterday. They approved this Saturday's event, the 13th, the following Saturday's event, the 20th, and the following Saturday's event, the 27th. But after that, they haven't said anything else. Maybe it's because after that, they go to Yas Island. So who knows?
I think it could be because you never know. We might have crowds back sooner than we thought. If we're in Las Vegas, mm-hmm, and they're allowing that many people to get together in a casino, mm-hmm, what's the difference between putting them in the arena?
Maybe like the Pearl to start off slow or something? Or?
Maybe, and just separate. Or I would say probably like a bigger arena, but separate people.
But that's a bigger rent too. And the Pearl's owned by the Fertittas, so I always think, that's true. The Palms first.
But I don't know that these venues are going to be asking for what they normally ask either. I think they're... Yeah. I mean, you see like what the Wind's doing. They're giving out free rooms and stuff. So,
to first responders.
I mean, every hotel has like their own little thing.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a cleanup. And I know I kind of glazed over it really quickly by just saying Yas Island. Yas Island in Abu Dhabi is Fight Island. And what we heard was they have the tourism board over there has given them a 10-mile circumference where it's only UFC and their people. That means their staff. That means the ESPN team. That means the fighters and everything. So they have hotels. They have some food accommodations. The beach itself with the octagon on the beach. And that's what they've managed to secure. Now, somebody tweeted something along the lines of, well, Dana cannot bitch about gates anymore. I saw this like literally 5 minutes ago, and I was trying to figure out what the hell he was talking about. So I don't know if Abu Dhabi has said, hey, come on down. We'll write you a check just for you to be here. Now, I'm still hearing no crowds. I thought I heard that pretty clear. But it could be that they just want their presence there. And you know, over there, they have some of the richest people in the world. So writing a $10 million check just to have the UFC there for a month, maybe they feel like that brings tourism. I don't know. That's something I'm going to have to dig into. Again, it was a late night walk yesterday. Man, I was tired. Then this morning I started looking at my notes and what we're going to talk about. And then I saw that pop up. So that needs to get caught up on. And I'm sure there's going to be, I'm going to, you know, see if our editorial's been tackling that as well, but that's the little bit that I was able to find yesterday. So have you heard anything about that, goes anything about, you know, Fight Island? To me, originally sounded like a remote island, not that they bought an island, but just a remote island somewhere in like the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. This just almost sounds
like something, hey, look, we're doing business with our that.
Yeah, exactly. Johnston Island.
Yeah, just a few people live there, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But this is more like a business transaction with their former partners. And, hey, come on down here. We got you, you know. But Yas Island is an area of the world where people go to all the time. It's just that they've blocked off that, what I said, like a 10-month radius, I think is how Dana White described it. So they're going to be on a populated island, and they already have their facilities. You know, we kept thinking like Gilligan's Island, we got to build a hut, we got to build a medical response area, we got to build it. No, it's already set up, and they should do good. I mean, the only thing I can think of when it comes to infrastructure is, I guess, you know how they build arenas for the UFC when they've gone back there, they just got to build them, I think, a little beachside arena, like an Apex almost on the beach. Yeah. Probably open air too. Who knows?
They've already started promotion. That's what we need too. Details. I don't know if you've seen this, but
who sent you that one?
Buddy of ours.
Nice. All right. So, folks, little by little, the news is trickling in. But you know us, we talk more about the matchups themselves, the fights themselves. The drama's fun to read and everything, but there's always two sides to a story. In fact, Goz, is there anything you wanted to chime in again on either the four matchups, Fight Island?
The four matchups at first, when we were talking about Sportscaster, I did not want that fight, the Cormier and Stipe Miocic. Even if it's in front of nobody, I kind of still wanted it in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the greatest heavyweight fight of all time just needs to be in the fight capital of the world.
Mm. Okay.
So that was one thing that...
Well, yeah, I would prefer it here too versus Yaz Island, but I want to see Yaz Island, and see what it looks like before I determine that. But historically, when you think of big heavyweight fights and their locations, you think of Thrilla in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle, which I think was, excuse my geography, I think Zaire, Uganda, and then either Madison Square Garden or Las Vegas, you know? So and Wembley Stadium, like they've had some history there as well. The Klitschko's, you got to give them their run. I think they used to get down at that stadium you and I went to. Well, we went to a few in Germany. The first one in Cologne, I think that was there.
Oh, yeah, I think that.
That's where called Gelsenkirchen.
Gelsenkirchen, yeah.
And I believe that's where Werder Bremen plays. But now I'm really trying to get cocky here with Zaire, Uganda, and Werder Bremen. I mean, you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about that. But I know it's in Gelsenkirchen, and it's a city outside of Cologne. That I'm sure of. So... Yeah, there are some areas that are like, you know, historical. So I hear you. That fight probably should happen in Las Vegas. Nate Diaz chirped at Kamaru Usman a little bit. You know, like, this is the problem. Fighters, they don't get their worth. And so you settle for like a third option. In a way, I hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Masvidal was the first option. Edwards was the second option. Burns turned out to be the third option. But it's easy to say when you're on the end of it worked out for you once. He's also had a run where he held out, like Masvidal's doing, you know? And that's the problem is MMA fans only hear one side or the latest side and they run like screaming to the hills. This person makes the most sense. And it's so not that way. I heard that interview with Dana White. He was getting tested a little bit by one of the gentlemen that was kind of filling in and saying, well, why are two of your guys displeased? And it seems like you have a history in this, you know? And Dana kept saying, well, look, we just signed deals with them 7 months ago with Masvidal, he said. It's an 8-fight deal. He was happy when he signed it, and now he wants more money. He goes, that doesn't seem right. We're only 1 fight into it. There's 7 left. It doesn't sit well with us. You were happy. We shook hands. What's happened? Now, from Masvidal's side, he's saying, you want me to fight this guy for half of what I fought in my last fight. That don't make sense. So they both kind of make points, but could it be that maybe that's why the boxing model does work in that you set your price before your fight, and then you fight, and then when it's time for the next one, again, the promoters figure it out, the fighters figure it out. So could it be that when you reach a level like Masvidal, that's what you got to do is not sign 8-fight contracts and just go fight per fight?
Well, I don't think they'll allow you to do that, but it both sides make sense. They make good points. The thing that I think bugs the UFC here is maybe if this were the third fight or the fourth fight, okay. We've realized Masvidal has gone up in value. People like him. But it's the second fight on that contract. You know, like, that is a little bit too much. I do understand them in that aspect. I also understand Jorge when he's saying, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going into the cage. I put the same training camp in. I have a chance of getting hurt the same way I did in the last fight. Why am I getting half of that? Well,
here's what Dana's saying to that. He's saying, hey, I'm going to pay you what we agreed on the contract. I'm not coming to you going, hey, bro, we're in a pandemic. We got no gate. We got problems, too. He's saying, no, I'll pay you what we agreed on the contract. He goes, so I'm not even playing that card on these guys. You know, so, again, I hear both sides. Did Jorge and Abe not forecast possibly that the next fight might not be as big as Diaz? I don't know. You would think that they would have gone over that with a fine-tooth comb. You know, like, I don't know.
But he also got something else in his contract that was pretty lucrative that a lot of people didn't get.
Pay-per-view points.
Yeah, and so I think it's just give and take. I believe where fighters get upset is any other business. I mean, not having your gate is a huge deal. That's a massive hit. I would almost say any other business would just be like chopping you in half or something. So for him to still be able to hand out those dollars means they probably make a lot of money. And if they make a lot of money, it's because fighters probably haven't been paid a lot of money in the past. So I think that's how they look at it and why they get upset. I think both sides make good points.
Yeah. Well,
nobody's going to feel sorry for the UFC, though. That's the thing.
Hopefully these agents just keep learning. You know, in other sports, that's being negotiated right now.
You don't want fight to fight, though.
NBA, NFL, they're negotiating. Even English Premier League, they're negotiating with the athletes. Hey, this season might be different. We might have to pay a quarter of your pay or half of your pay because of what's going on with no crowds. It looks like the athletes are willing to listen in those sports. In this sport, Dana's saying, I'm not playing that card on you guys. But at the same time, you're asking for a raise in a pandemic and I have no crowds. So, you know, let's figure this thing out. Now, in Dana's case, at some point, like if you play hardball and go, well, I'm not. Unless, don't ring my phone unless you have a good offer. I think Dana White goes, well, I don't have it. I have to go to the next guy and then the next guy. So now Jorge Masvidal has to go, ooh, okay, I'm not in the picture here. Now what do they have for me? All right, here's the next one. He addressed Conor McGregor. He said, and you know, usually he's like fluffing up Conor McGregor in any way possible. Oh my God, this is the one guy that if you call, he will take the fight. All right, we've heard that a million times. This time he said that Conor wasn't happy because he wasn't getting what he wanted. So Dana kind of clarified and said that Conor was offered to fight Tony and the winner would fight Habib. And that Conor told him, I'm not a replacement fighter. He said, so what happened? Justin Gaethje accepted the fight. He slipped in. He fought Tony Ferguson. The rest is history. He goes, now Gaethje is slated to fight Habib Nurmagomedov. He goes, that's kind of what he wanted. Or that's how it works, you know? He goes, so now he wants to fight Justin Gaethje, but Gaethje wants to fight Habib. So he said he told Conor, just hang back. You'll get the winner. You know, but Conor wants to fight, obviously. So
I think he's lucky that he would get the winner.
Me too. He's lucky he beat Cowboy. Because before we used to go, bro, you just lost. You haven't done nothing. But at least now he got that win. Even though it was a welterweight and even though it wasn't against a top contender, he can say, I'm coming off a win, you know. Anyway, so then they asked him, well, what about him versus Masvidal right now? And this is one thing I noticed goes was, again, he does not seem interested in that fight. He won't say it, but the way I read it, I think he just thinks, ooh, both guys like to strike, and Masvidal can handle himself very well, whether it's a southpaw, plus he's the bigger guy. This would really, really hurt Conor, you know, in that sense.
But then you're just left with another star, aren't you?
Yeah, but not as big as this one.
Yeah, but
and then one you're currently beefing with as well.
But then you take that guy and you go, all right, now it's time to solve Nate Diaz. No titles are on the line, nothing, but something has to happen here. And then
they hopefully, asked him about them.
Hopefully he beats Nate, right? I'm just saying this as maybe the way UFC thinks. Hopefully he beats Nate, and guess what? Guess who's back, right? It's not how you
do things. Yeah, they've asked him about that too, and it just doesn't sound like that's the option he wants. He just wants him to hang back and wait for the winner of the other fight. They didn't even get to Anderson Silva. They didn't really say much about Diaz, but he was quick to say, nah, you know, not versus Masvidal. We just want him to hang back, enjoy time with his family, and fight the winner. But I wish he would have said, you know, that'd be interesting, man. These guys would go toe-to-toe. It would be an exciting fight. And then say, but what we've decided is no. He always shuts that down. He's shut it down for like the last 6 months. Something about that matchup he doesn't like. Now, he either doesn't like it for business, mm-hmm. or like maybe he wants to just say, I have a welterweight star and a lightweight star. Or he doesn't like it because he doesn't like it for Conor, which we all know they have helped guide Conor's career in the past. In fact, they've actually said it, folks. So this isn't me speaking out of turn. I remember somebody asked him once, what are you most proud of this whole Conor McGregor ride or something like that? And he says, you know, that we were able to help guide a young man's career and his dreams. And so he didn't go so far as to say pick specific matchups, favorable matchups or anything. But I think he conceded a little bit, you know, guiding. What do you mean guiding? What, you're not a manager or nothing like that. It was about 2-3 years ago that I heard that. And I go, that's him. That's him giving us something. Yeah. And I don't know if it's by purpose or maybe he just didn't realize what he was saying. But I've never really heard him say guiding other fighters. He guides the UFC, you know. Anyway, so yeah, man, that's kind of like the latest there. He really just doesn't. He thinks Conor's bored, and that's why he tweeted what he tweeted about him being retired. They asked him about, you know, let's go to John Jones. We'll finish up with John Jones as far as that little interview is concerned. He said with John Jones, he signed a fight contract last year. However, Jones has stated, well, we're 3 fights. I've already done 3 of the 8 fights. So he's a little bit further along. And since those 3 fights, he had an epic war with Dominic. He had an epic war with Thiago Santos. And then he had Alexander Gustafsson was his other one, right? Mm-hmm. That was an epic. He dominated him. So I think he just feels like, well, I think his beef is different. I think his beef is like, well, you've always wanted me to fight at heavyweight, and you said when I did, I'd get a raise, and I want to fight Ngannou, the scariest guy out there. Why won't you guys at least listen?
Because it's unnecessary. We don't need it right now.
True.
And it solves nothing. It proves nothing. It really does. Like, it's something they don't need right now.
I think especially what he didn't like was they didn't even go, yeah, John, what were you thinking? They just said, nope. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's say he makes $5 million a fight. Let's just say he made $5 million a fight. They weren't even willing to listen to like $5 million and 500,000. You know, like he didn't even say $6 million. And I think they said, no. And so that set off like, well, what are you talking about? And then, once it got into the media a little bit, it just got ugly. But I think had that not happened, him pitching Ngannou or them chirping at each other, and they just said, well, what's next for you? And it was Blachowicz or Reyes. Maybe he just would have proceeded with his contract. I think that just alerted him a little bit. And so Now he's in that holding pattern. I don't know that he's really vacated the title, though.
I think Dana's just sick of fighters asking for more money. But he's upset at something that he helped create. You know, he created those situations with these fighters. So you got to learn how to deal with it. You're going to get it from a lot of fighters. But I'll tell you what, you don't want, as fans, you don't want MMA to go fight to fight with fighters. Because the big problem with that in boxing is that's why you don't see some of the big fights happen. Fighters just can't agree. And they don't happen. And you don't want to see that in MMA, because that's the one thing in MMA that we've been pretty good at. Getting the fights we want at the times we want.
I wonder if there's a contract that says, you're with me for 8 fights, but we'll negotiate each person along the way. Because you're right. If we just do 1-fight contracts, then Masvidal could have walked away and said, hey, Bellator, how you doing? You know, mm-hmm. after the Diaz fight last year. But instead, he's locked into these 8 fights.
But he could just sit out. And then, that's where you get, like, I think, Gilbert Burns, those guys and stuff like that. They jump. Mm-hmm. And then the title just kind of looks silly. It would be really tough, man. I don't know.
Couldn't they have all sat down and just had the foresight to go, hey, so if I beat Diaz and I fight Usman next, then what do I get paid? Like, didn't he see that in front of him?
Maybe. I mean, there's some contracts that are somewhat like that. Or was it the actual
pandemic that just changed a little? Because they're pay-per-view guys. He doesn't get a piece of the gate, so the gate doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You know what I mean? It's the pay-per-views. And if the pay-per-views under the ESPN era, where maybe more people are stuck at home and willing to pay it, I don't know. It's the most bizarre thing. I wish I might be time to get Abe Cowell back on the show. I don't know.
If Masvidal doesn't get the Conor McGregor fight, then I think he made a mistake. Because not getting the title shot, I understand if you're going to get the Conor McGregor fight. There's a lot of money there. That's just a big deal. But if you don't get that, then really what's left for him, right? He's already fought Nate Diaz. What fight could they possibly put together that would be bigger than a title fight? Maybe Colby Covington, something like that. But
Nick Diaz?
Yeah. If you can get that guy to, that'd be a contract.
Avenged little brother's loss. Baddest motherfucker.
But I don't think that that's really a plan, right? There's never anything that's a plan that has the name Nick Diaz in it.
It sounds solid though, right? Plan.
If it were to happen, you could sell it.
Because now it's a fresh matchup for Masvidal. There's a storyline there. He waits out the winner of Burns and Usman. But then Nick Diaz, I think, can sell for sure. And then you go, Nick, you know how you're kind of broke, at least according to what you hear out on the street? Well, here's a $2 million check, or here's a $1 million check. I don't know, whatever it is that it amounts to after you get his show money and pay-per-view money, to do something you kind of enjoy doing. Although the Diaz brothers have said, we don't really like fighting. I don't think they like the process of fighting. I think the scrap itself, they love it. But the training, the media, the build up, all that shit, I think is something that they haven't been fans of. But I don't know, man. I don't know what's gonna happen. Can you imagine having all this behind the scenes footage and then just doing a documentary? You could do probably the Masvidal documentary. You could do almost a documentary on just Masvidal and Usman. Why did it fall apart? That could be a documentary. Maybe 30 minutes. I don't know.
Something else you got to keep in mind too is because we're in a pandemic, a lot of these fighters make a lot of money off of appearances. There are no appearances right now. So Jorge Masvidal is probably not making anything. Where a guy like Nick Diaz, it's perfect. He does a lot of appearances. And I think that's how he would make money without fighting. But there's nothing to make money off of now. This is like the worst time for all this to happen.
Yeah. Usman did fire back to what Nate Diaz said, that, you know, this fight just shouldn't be happening. He said, let's state some facts here. Your bum ass, L's in the last eight, 5 of 9 in an 8-year span, 12 L's total, that's losses. 1-1 in the last 4 years, refused to fight Woodley when offered title shot. I never knew that. He was offered a title shot against Woodley?
They throw that around too much, though.
Offered a title shot against Woodley.
I don't know. Fighters seem to throw that around too much, and it almost feels like, I heard this. You know, like, I don't know if there's a lot of credibility behind this.
True. Then he says, said guy, and I think this is towards Masvidal, 13 L's total. Does Masvidal have 13 L's?
I don't know about that.
Look it up.
I mean, I know he's got quite a few, but I don't know about 13.
I know there's like 5 split decisions, man. He, his career could have surged a lot earlier if not for a couple of these split decisions that he lost. He has 13 losses. Wow. So Usman continues here. 13 L's total. L to Damian Maya, who was KO'd by Burns in round 1. Embarrassed your burn ass. I don't know what the fuck. Help us out here, guys, when you talk trash. Embarrassed your burn ass. I don't know. So he was defending why the matchup's there. He kind of took the Covington route. Covington calls both guys, I think, journeymen. Mm-hmm. But they're people love them. People love to see them fight. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. Okay. So that's kind of a little bit of the latest roundup tied into yesterday's big announcement of the 4 title fights, of them going to Yas Island for July 11, 18. Yeah, July 11, 18, 25. And who knows? Maybe I thought this. Oh, then there's that one Wednesday show, which I think winds up being on the 15th. So it could be that that's the 4 shows on Yas Island. And they're just going to pour in a lot of international fighters to get in there and do their thing. One thing I haven't heard, though, is Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa. ¿Qué esperan?
I don't know.
Yeah, could that even be one of the biggest, if not the biggest? Just because, you know, they're both undefeated. Mm-hmm. They both talk young. Some smack, and they're both exciting. So, wow. Like, I'm really, really amped up for that one. Now I'm waiting for that announcement. I mean, everybody has every right to tell me, calm down, fool. You just heard four title fights. But, man, that one's huge.
I've been watching Paulo Costa, some clips that he puts up of him training. Dude, he looks enormous right now.
Sure does. Huge. Sure does. Look at this one. This is how lost I get when it comes to Eastern Europe. The UFC targeting Roman Dolidze versus Kadys Ibragimov.
I don't even know what that is.
I know. I'm just curious. I want to click the story by Nolan King. See if there's anything about each guy here. Dolidze is 6-0 in MMA and 0-0 in the UFC. Okay, now I don't feel guilty for not knowing who he is, but he's a Georgian light heavyweight. And Kadys Ibragimov, he's 8-2, 0-2 in the UFC. Oh, okay. All right, cool. For some reason, I thought they were going to both be 17-0, been lighting up M1 or what's the other one? ACB, FNG out there. And I was just going to go, wow, holy cow, these guys are going to crush each other. On the 18th, Figueiredo versus Benavidez, Gastelum versus Hermanson, Diakesi versus Alan Patrick, Askarov versus Pantoja, and then this fight, Dolidze versus Ibragimov. That's on July 18th, so that's 1 week later. So that's another title fight. It kind of had been announced a while back, but this is going to take place on Yas Island.
I want to go back to fighter pay for a second.
All right.
On Joe Rogan's show, he talked about it, and he did essentially what we're doing now. He told both sides of the story, but he did agree that fighters deserve to be paid more. That, to me, is a big deal. Anytime Joe Rogan signs off on something, it's a big deal. And you see what's going on in our country right now and all the changes that are being made. I really think that they have a little bit of legs right now, fighters. If they were to, and I know people are going to hate to hear this, but if they were to come together a little bit more, I'm not even saying like form a union. I just think if they came together a little bit more and spoke a little bit more, they have legs. And a guy like Joe Rogan bringing that up is probably not good for the UFC. But if you're on Twitter, if you're on social media, and you look at some of the fighters that have been more vocal about this, it's always followed up by a lot of veteran fighters that are co-signing on a lot of these things. So when Dana White goes veteran on ESPN...
fighters that have already seen their best days, though?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they break things down, and they really
explain Gray Maynard's it. Been active.
Gray Maynard's one of them, yeah. So if you go on there and you look, it's pretty interesting, man. Like, that's why when you see Dana White on ESPN, and he's, like, appalled that he's being asked these questions, there's a lot of legs to these questions. People want to know these types of things. And I'm sure you could probably stand up there and give answers, but that doesn't mean that the answers are going to make sense. They don't always make sense. And so right now, I think is probably a time in history when it comes to MMA fighter pay that this could be a make or break time right now.
Here's why I know that we're still a ways away. Because just how what happened with George Floyd has ignited quite a push for social equality and for awareness of the lack of social equality. How many incidents has there been before where it's just the sides go split in two and one side says this, the other side says that, and then there's, you know, an act of terrorism or a plane goes down and then everybody just focuses on something else, a school shooting, who knows. This one has legs, the one with George Floyd. I mean, a lot of people are coming out, a lot of people are talking, a lot of people are discussing. I think there's going to be some real change. In MMA, every time fighters say something, and this isn't a knock on Dominic Reyes, I understand what he's saying. But when John Jones said, hey, I'm going to dip out. UFC, when you're ready to pay me, let's talk. Maybe when you're ready for the Israel fight, I'm in. Something like that, he said. In the meantime, Dom and Jan can fight for the title. Now, again, I'm not saying what Dom said was wrong. But Ed Dom said, you know what? John brings up good points. I also want to have a discussion about fighter pay before I sign on the dotted line, I stand with John. Maybe not so eloquent like that. Mm-hmm. But instead, he said something like, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically kind of like, deuces, all right, let us know when me and Jan are fighting. See, because he's at that stage where, hey, I could be the champ. I'm not saying he's saying that I don't care about our predecessors and I don't care about who's behind me, but that's kind of what they're saying, you know? And they're only focused on that fight. They'll worry about it later. They'll let their management take care of it. There's been so many drop balls over the years, and then they get to the point where, like, holy shit, I've lost three of my last four. I'm not what I was, and I still don't have, you know, a college fund for my kids. I've been throwing out feelers, and I don't know that I'm as hireable as I was when I first got out of college. You know, my degree is my degree, you know, what I thought it might be. Can I work 8 to 5? I'm used to sleeping in, being able to go to the gym with the guys and train and get better, and then, you know, cash a $100,000 check every few months. That those are some hard adjustments for some people, but they don't think about it when they're young, because guys, when they're young, we're young and dumb.
But that's the problem. That right there is the problem.
Mm-hmm. But the UFC knows it.
Yeah.
You know, they know it.
And fighters know it. It's just when that's put in front of you, it's hard to say no, because you want to look out for everyone in the sport. You don't have very many guys that are going to do that.
Yeah, interesting convo. All right, look, this weekend is UFC on ESPN 10. It's a simulcast on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And the main event is Cynthia Calvillo versus Jessica Ai. Marvin Vittori and Carl Roberson, who had words in Jacksonville, they're in the co-main event. So expect a good face-off. Expect some chirping this week. And maybe, you know, really, really getting after it on Saturday. Ray Borg versus Merab Dvalishvili. I'm okay with that 1-2-3. I don't think Ian Calvillo is the equivalent of Pettis and Hooker, for example, in 2 weeks.
But it's an even matchup, and it should be fun.
Yeah, they both have names, and that's just the hand the UFC was dealt. Look, I think the UFC could have said, you know, that first one back, 249, we probably could have slid Ngannou and Jarzinho, you know, over to this one. But we really wanted to make a bang, so we front-loaded that card, and a few of the other cards just aren't going to be as loaded. But, hey, we just made an announcement that the next pay-per-view has 3 title fights. So calm your nerves, fans. It's free on ESPN. Andre Feely versus Charles Jourdain. Jordan Espinoza versus Mark De La Rosa. Maria Agapova versus Hannah Siffers. Siffers is back.
Mm-hmm.
Dern just beat her, right? Or
she just fought.
Was it Dern?
I believe so, yeah.
Holy cow. Charles Rosa versus Kevin Aguilar. Julia Avila versus Gina Mazzani. Hell, I think Rosa just fought. Okay. Yeah, a lot of these fighters are getting active. Tyson Nam versus Zaruk Adishev. Jordan Griffin versus Derek Minner. Anthony Ivey versus Christian Aguilera. Did I tell you about that one?
No.
We called Aguilera's fight over there at
Bad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bama.
Uh-huh. The Bama series. So that's the event. You know what channels. They start at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus or on ESPN. The main card starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. Again, ESPN or ESPN Plus. The main card has 5 fights on it. The prelim has 6 fights on it. So it looks like there's 11 total fights. No title fights, but the main event, I believe, is a 5-round fight. And that's, I'm bringing that up because seems like that fight was only announced like 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So those young ladies must have already gotten the word that, hey, train hard. You might be main eventing or who knows what. So, yeah. The odds, by the way, on the main event, in case you're curious, pick them. They're both minus 110.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Vittori's minus 230 to Roberson's plus 190. Dvalishvili minus 420 to Borg's plus 335. Man, Borg don't 420 suck.
420 is a little too much.
Borg don't suck. But Borg also just fought a kind of a war a little bit. But Borg I think it's a size thing. I think Longo was right. Look, Borg's talented, but Merab Dvalishvili's bigger. And remember, Merab Dvalishvili has
tough, dude.
No cardio.
No cardio.
The best cardio.
Oh.
I tweeted that he could do a 5-round fight on Mount Everest, is my opinion. Like, I just don't see him ever tiring. Anyway, folks, there you have it, man. That's Clint Guida versus Bobby Green. I can sneak one in there real quick. Those are some names that have put in some time. They deserve to get a shout out like that. I got to believe both guys are in their upper 30s, and whoever wins keeps his job, whoever doesn't, I don't know. Well, the pandemic's totally different. Really, really totally different. It's a time where they need roster spots, and for this next 6 months while the pandemic is out there, and you know, I did hear Dana White say it for the second time, I got 630 fighters on my roster. If we hadn't created Fight Island, I would burn through my North American based roster quickly. So I think this is a chance for a lot of veterans, if they're healthy, to just get back into another camp. Even if you lost, just get into another camp. I could have sworn Rosa just lost. Let me look it up. I just want to get the doubt out of my head. They all pile up on me one at a time. Rosa just fought. It was really quick. He got mauled. Hold on, I don't have to cheat. He got tossed around good. It was
It was on the ground. It was a clinic.
Yeah, somebody...
I think it was the second card back.
Somebody just suffocated him. Who was it? Damn it, George. My mom told me, stop saying you have a bad memory. I know it was in Jacksonville. I think it was the first card. Okay, it was Bryce Mitchell, remember?
Mm.
That's right. And that was on UFC 249. All right, so my memory's not that bad. The other one was Siffers, and I think I said Mackenzie Dern. I'm pretty sure of that one. Hannah Siffers. Was it Mackenzie Dern? That one wasn't that long ago. That was on 5:30. Today's 6:11. Wow. That's 2 weeks, Goose.
Yeah. I mean, they asked for it.
A knee bar. Okay, I guess the knee wasn't so bad. Huh. Folks, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please go back and check out our show on Sportscaster. We talked a lot about, you know, the consequences of those four title fights for the fighters below, like Ngannou and Sterling and Masvidal and Zabit. You know, all the respective divisions that had title fight announcements. We said, well, where does that leave the rest? We kind of covered that. It's sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. We're there every Wednesday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Thank you, as always, for your support. Keep it locked this weekend on MMA Junkie for all the best coverage for UFC on ESPN 10. Go out there and be a champion.